are Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac Radio Show. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. You're joined today with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. The Inside Mac Show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, the preferred disk and system utility for Mac OS X. You can check them out at micromat.com. DVD-XDV, the software. If you have MPEG-2 content that's basically a DVD, and you want to pull it off your DVD and stick it into iMovie, Final Cut Pro, you name it, check it out. You must have DVD-XDV.com. MCE's technology, Z Place, to upgrade the SuperDrive in your PowerBook, your G4, your G5. Also, a Apple-authorized reseller, so great deals on loaded PowerBooks, MCETech.com. And our media partners of the National Association of Photoshop Professionals, Creator Pro, the place to get the best tips for creatives, creatorpro.com, Layers Magazine at layersmagazine.com, Mac Update at macupdate.com, Digital Production Buzz of Philip Hodges at digitalproductionbuzz.com, and the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program, Printing for Less. Check them out at printingforless.com.
What we have today is, on the show today, of course, we have Philip Hodges, as usual, with the Digital Production Buzz. We have Andrew Shallett, who's going to be giving us a Inside Mac press design tip. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the new Intel Core Duo iMac that just came out. I just picked one up this week, and it is a great system, so we're going to talk a little bit more about that. And then up in the second hour, we're going to have Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks. We're going to have Martin Baker from a company called Digital Heaven. They have a really, really nice set of products for Final Cut Pro users and people that that work with the Final Cut Studio application Motion. So you'll want to stick around and take a listen to that. So I think we're going to have a really good show for you. This week was a really interesting week. I was down at the Final Cut Pro Users Group. I met with Michael Horton and Philip Hodges down there. They run a great show down there. You guys, if you're in the LA area, they meet the second to the last week every month, and they have a really, really good show for you. So you want to check them out. If you do live around there, their website is www.lafcpug.org, and it's a great group. So you want to take a look at that. One of the things that was really interesting is there's been a lot of talk about these new Intel Core Mac Duos, and they're nice systems. I just got one this last Friday. They're just great. I was quite surprised at how fast it was, what a good system it was. The Intel Core Mac Duo, we did get a chance to play around with iLife Suite, which is very nice. Apple has done a really good job with refreshing that suite. It's just a great application. You'll find that if you do upgrade to the new iLife, you'll find that the performance is a lot better than the previous iLife. I think you'll have a very, very good experience with it. They have a lot of new features that use the graphics card to speed things up. I think you'll find that iPhoto is much, much faster than the old iPhoto. The new iMovie is a whole lot better too as well, also accelerated. I think you'll just have a very good experience. So if you haven't picked that up, go down to the Apple Store and pick up iLife 06 or go order it online. We're going to go to a little break here, and we will be back, and hopefully Scott will be in the studio to bail me out.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD-XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD-XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD-XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This is Brad Wright filling in for Scott Shepherd, who will be here soon. Right now, we're going to talk to Philip Hodgetts of the Digital Production Buzz. Philip, you on the line?
I'm here, right. Brad. You're flying solo.
That's I am flying solo. It's scary. It's frightening. So what's the buzz this week? What's the hot word?
Well, the buzz this week is that everything I was going to talk about, you've got on the show later. My top line item was AutoMotion from Digital Heaven, but I look in the rundown and you're going to have Martin Baker on the show later in the second hour.
Well, that doesn't mean we still can't talk about it.
We can talk about him behind his back, can't
yeah,
we?
Let's go for it. Come on.
Okay. I mean, you'll find out about how great this is. Basically, a tool for automating repetitive titling processes in Motion. When he opened up Motion, I was surprised because all of the rest of the Digital Heaven products have been focused around Final Cut Pro.
That's right.
This is really good. And I'll let Martin talk about how it just makes like 40 titles from a template in a text file in you know, 5 seconds or something. It's really magic. The thing that impressed me, and it's the inner geek within me that was impressed by this, a Motion project file is actually expressed as an XML file. It's a custom version of XML, so it's basically text.
Mm-hmm.
But it plays as a QuickTime movie.
Yeah, I was like blown away how they did that. I said it's some secret thing, and I'm just like I don't know how he did it. It looked just like magic, because the way this little application, if you do a lot of titles in any kind of application, whether it's Final Cut Pro or Motion or whatnot, and you're working professionally, at the last minute, some editor or some producer or whatnot who your boss is going to call you and say, I want all of this changed, or I want this all a different color.
And can go back and edit and all that. And Martin will fix that, but that's the magic of QuickTime, that this is an XML file, and yet when you put it in a QuickTime player module, it plays semi-real time.
Yeah.
Try that, Windows Media. Take that, real. I mean, let's see you do that.
Well, that's what's so great. I mean, what we're talking about here is the fact that what Apple has chosen to do, and this is generally Apple's philosophy, is they just say, we're going to tell you how everything works internally. We're just going to open it up, and we're going to say, all of you developers, come in and get it. You want to write in? Here's how you do it. This is where you go, and that's fabulous.
And I've been waiting for people for years to do what they've done with these QuickTime modules that let a Lifetime project or a Motion project play as QuickTime movies. They like through QuickTime, they pull back into the core engine of these apps, and in the case of Motion, put it on the graphics card and play it in real time, create it. But that's. You know, you'll hear a lot more about the practical way that works rather than the inner geek way that it works.
Well, so what else is hot? There's a lot of stuff, though, that's been going on in the last week, hasn't there?
There has been, indeed. I mean, FireWire Depot finally released some PCI Express cards.
Yeah.
Will let us put extra FireWire drive chains in, and that'll be good news for people who want to run like an Azure I.O. or an Adrenaline off their PCI Express Mac.
Yeah.
And Senator Stevens, who is actually on the committee that's looking at this new broadcast flag legislation, and I should say I am against this legislation and their attempts to block an analog hole, because for filmmakers, what this would mean is that no device can have an analog input or output without it being approved and shutting down or preventing the recording of previously digital rights managed material. So if you're out shooting and some guy goes past with a boombox, and it's always guys with a boombox car, comes past playing some copyright material, your camera will shut down.
Oh, isn't that nice?
But anyway, so it's all been looking like, you know, people like Senator Stevens and his Democrat counterpart were going, we must have this legislation, it's so essential. Well, you know, the Republican junior senator for New Hampshire, Senator John Sununu, said, he's an MIT graduate, so he might actually have a little clue, said, do we really need this? But the real trick was that Senator Stevens' daughter gave him an iPod, and he said, if we pass this legislation, can I still put the radio on my iPod? And the IRAA representative had to say, no, Senator Stevens, I'm sorry, we won't be able to do that. And the tide has kind of turned on it a little bit.
Ah, see, there you go. Save. The key to saving your freedom in the U.S. is give all the senators and people iPods. And then our freedom
absolutely
will be saved.
That is so absolutely the policy that Apple should be going. There should be like 100 iPods, 180 iPods in FedEx right in the house.
Yes, and you know, some of the really top management people at Apple do actually listen to the show. So, hey, this is a suggestion. All 100 senators and all, all people in high levels, get them iPods. Yeah.
Get them iPods.
It'll save us a lot of gloom and misery, you know, going forward.
I'm not against digital rights management per se, but I am against, you know, excessive digital rights management. I think Apple have found a fair balance with Fair Play, and it's never stopped me doing anything that I actually legitimately wanted to do.
Yeah, well, I think that's absolutely right. I think that also, in addition to that, I think some of the people are coming around to the realization that if the price is fair, people will just buy it.
Indeed.
They won't steal it. They'll just buy it. And if the distribution is good, they'll just buy it.
That makes it easy. And if you have a Sony PD 150, 170, X10, or a DSR 250, and you get distorted or non-existent images in your viewfinder, Sony will actually repair that for you.
Wow.
So there's a problem with stuff manufactured prior to March 2004, cameras manufactured prior to that, and they'll repair them for the next year.
Oh, that's fabulous.
That is good.
Oh, that is
and
good.
A great new piece of software called Final Log came out this week.
Mm.
Final Log is a piece of ancillary software. It's actually a FileMaker Pro runtime,
mm-hmm.
but it takes your XML or your batch list from Final Cut or anything else that can produce it, and you import that, and then you can do easy transcription into the database. You can search the database. You can build a playlist from that database and export that as XML back to Final Cut Pro.
And
that's pretty cool.
So that's basically, it's a logging software. So you can log in one application, and then you can just basically allow all of these shots and everything that you do is going to appear magically in the other application.
Yeah, or you can sort of copy and paste in script elements in and then match the shots up to the script elements and do all that in a little bit more efficient environment than Final Cut is for that particular type of work. Final Cut's not based on a database. So
yeah, because once you open up Final Cut, then your machine can pretty much grind to a halt. You don't have enough.
It's actually quite wise. If you don't have like 4 gigabytes of RAM, or you do, make sure you set your Final Cut memory usage settings down to something under 100%.
Yes.
Otherwise, it does tend to grind your entire machine to a halt. And we've spoken in the past about RealStream Andromeda. This is a modification done to DVX 100, 100A or 100B.
Yeah, doesn't that seem like that was last century?
Yes, but this mod takes that camera and turns it into a full, uncompressed 444 10-bit raw signal from the chipset at high definition, at 720p resolution.
So it's kind of like, it's like you're basically getting almost like 16mm film resolution out of the camera.
You get about two or three extra stops of dynamic range out of the camera. It's like the chip that's in there is just so much better than anything else around it that it's kind of magical. You've got this rich depth to be able to really process color correction in post.
Wow.
Far more than you can in anything else.
All right. If people want to find out more, where do they have to go, Philip?
Well, the Digital Production Buzz is at digitalproductionbuzz.com. We're part of the Creative Planet family at the site. You can find a tip of the day. You can find the current news, and you can sign up for an XML feed of that. So you just get an RSS feed, I get my technologies confused. And we do a live show on a Thursday night, 6 to 7. You can join us in a chat along with the live show, or you can, as most people do, pick it up on an archive or a podcast, and you can search for us at Buzz in iTunes.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Philip. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD-XDV, the coolest software if you want to take content off a DVD MPEG 2 and bring it into QuickTime, Final Cut Pro, Final Cut Express, you name it, you need it. Check it out, DVDXDV.com. Right now we have Andrew Shallot. Andy is the Inside Mac Press author of the Mac Design Out of the Box book. How are you doing, Andrew?
Been listening to
Andrew,
the show, and we were talking about video today, and you were talking about more of the high-end stuff earlier. But for a lot of the people that read my book or the people that I deal with, a lot of times they're not pros necessarily in video, but they do need to get some videos done, and a lot of times the furthest they'll go is iMovie.
Yeah.
But a lot of times iMovie can be somewhat clunky if you're not used to planning out a film or a short video. So what my tip for the week is to use iPhoto as a storyboarding application.
Well, that's a good idea.
Oh, yeah.
Because especially with the new iLife, which is so much faster than last year's, the way that you can just put stills and just put and rearrange them, make a quick video, play around with the music that you want, and you can do quick variations before you have to render things in iMovie. You get a great idea and then you can then use that as the basic building block for your movie in iPhoto, in iMovie.
You know, Pixar spent, a bunch of money and put lots and lots of effort and whatnot into doing these kind of applications that allow you just to preview storyboards. They'll actually record dialogue, and then they'll actually flip through storyboards. And it's exactly what major motion studios do it this exact same way, and it's a great idea.
Exactly. And if you're going to do narration, you can do this very easily in QuickTime as well. If you just, the $29.95 QuickTime Pro allows you to do recordings now. So you can use your iSight camera as well and get small video clips. But mainly, I'm just saying it's a great little application for just getting your ideas down. It's sort of like a sketch pad.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. That's one thing. And I think the other rule of thumb that a lot of people seem to overlook is, and this goes through every aspect of design, and we talk about it in my book, we talk about it everywhere we teach, that it's simplicity. Simplicity, simplicity, simplicity. In video, there's an old rule of thumb in movies called get in late and get out early. People don't realize that, but it's a real big thing in making big movies. You know, you have somebody, you have a scene in a diner, you don't have to have the person walking up to the door of the diner, opening the door, walking across the room, sitting down at the table. If you start with them sitting at the table, the other parts are understood.
Yeah, that's
called get in late. Get out early. They don't have to pay their check and wait for the waitress.
Yeah.
Just cut to the next scene. So that's the other rule of thumb. And since we're talking about video, I thought that would be an appropriate thing.
Yeah.
That is a good thing to know because, like you said, it's better sometimes to tell less than to tell more.
Exactly. Leave to the imagination, certainly. But also, as I said, it's just be simple and direct, and you'd be surprised at just how clear your message comes across. Now, for next week, Scott, I was wondering if I could indulge you, or rather you could indulge me a little bit. I would like to see if any of our listeners would like to send me some tips that they might have.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And then you guys can go over with them. That would be cool.
Exactly.
Stuff. So how do we send suggestions to Andy, and they can get to you, and then
send them to design@shallot.com.
Perfect. Good stuff. Hey, Andy, thanks for joining us today. That was Andrew Shallot, author of Mac Design Out of the Box. You can check it out at peachpit.com, or you can go to insidemacradio.com. Next up here, we have more cool things about your Mac. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
My systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity.
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4 and the brand new hardware solution Protégé, a cool 1 gigabyte FireWire little pencil drive deal. Stick it in your Mac. You can boot from this piece of hardware. You can run Tech Tool Pro. You can run diagnostic stuff. It boots up an OS 10. Very cool stuff. Check it out. Micromat.com. So, Brad.
Yes.
You got a brand new iMac 20-inch 2 gigahertz Intel Duo.
Core Duo, yes. I was really impressed with this. Actually, it was quite funny as I just wanted to say hello to Andrew. As I was walking out of the store, the Apple store, some guy said hi and said, hey, is that thing going to be on the show? And I said, yeah, maybe. And sure enough, it wound up being on the show today. Yeah. So here it is.
So what's your thoughts on it? I mean, you got tons of dual processor machines and hardware. And
yeah.
You're writing code and doing all this QuickTime APIs and, Final Cut Pro stuff.
Well,
and,
what
do you think?
I think the machine is fantastic for a consumer level application machine. As long as you're sticking with native applications like your iLife suite, you're going to love this machine. The new iLife runs really fast on it. And it smokes. I mean, as long as you're staying in native, it is definitely faster than the old iMac G5.
How's the Rosetta work out? Have you tried that with anything?
I haven't gotten, yes, I have tested some stuff, and it is a little disappointing.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll say that's about it. It's a little disappointing. You'll not be tremendously excited about the performance that you get out of
but
Rosetta.
You tested like AltaVec required type sort of pro video stuff with Rosetta.
Yeah.
Have you tried anything else, like maybe Office or any like just normal little easy stuff?
No, I haven't tried the really normal easy stuff. Of course, I don't really use Office. I'm an iWork person myself. I mean, I'm a Pages addict. So, I mean, Office is kind of, it's a good application, but I like Pages. So.
Yeah.
So, but I did manage to recompile some of my applications. I've got this new application I'm working on called VScope. And so I ported it over to, this was just in a couple of hours, basically. I ported it over to the Intel architecture. And I did a little performance test against my dual 2.7 gigahertz G5 Power Mac. And what I found out was that it's the Intel, the dual 2.7, I converted a movie with this, and it took about 3 minutes on a 2.7 doing some H.264 encoding. And on the Core Duo, the Intel, it took about 6 minutes. So it's not quite up to the speed of a Power Mac G5, even at the same processor speed. If you were to compare cycle by cycle processor speed, 1 megahertz is about, on the Intel, is about 75% slower. I should say 75% of the speed of the Power Mac G5, not 75% slower. So
right.
It is actually not as fast. And there could be a reason for that, that they could probably have not done all of the optimization yet in QuickTime and with the rest of the system. So maybe going forward, you'll see some better performance increases.
But yeah, have you got a chance to play with it, like doing iMovie or iPhoto or any of the
Yeah,
IF
I played
stuff?
With a little bit. Well, there's some really, I mean, the built-in iSight camera. I mean, there's so much to talk about on this system. It could take up 5 or 6 shows of stuff. Generally, I really like the built-in iSight. I was impressed with that. I like
How about
the
front row.
Front row is very cool.
Yeah.
In fact, I was really impressed with the screen quality playing back DVDs. I mean, it looks great. In front row. I don't know if they've tweaked the DVD player or whatnot or the screen or what it is, but it just looks really, really good.
I bet it has the same glass, huh, as like the new PowerBooks, a super high resolution, dense glass.
I think it is. That's probably, blues look deeper, the colors look deeper and more saturated than they do look on the old PowerBook, my old 2-year-old PowerBook.
Yeah.
So yeah, every year, like little panels get a little bit better and a little bit better, and it's they're nice. It's a really nice system.
Cool. So let's talk about that some more here. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program, all things about your Macintosh. Next up here, we're going to have Derek Story and Scott Bourne. We're going to talk about Aperture tricks and tips. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
If you wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. You want to upgrade your PowerBook or your G4 or your G5 with the fastest dual-layer, coolest super drive around? Check them out. The place to go. They are also an Apple-authorized reseller, so you can get a smoking deal on a new PowerBook or a MacBook Pro. MCETech.com. Right now I'm joined with Derek Story and Scott Bourne. We're going to talk about Aperture. How are you guys doing?
Good. Hey, I'm doing great. How are you doing, Scott?
Good. So tell us, you guys did a big gig here at Macworld.
2 days, man.
Two-day Aperture gig. And let's hit on a few points here about Aperture. I guess maybe the first thing is because at Macworld or the day before, Adobe introduced Lightroom.
Right.
Maybe you guys can give us the difference between, or tell us about Lightroom and then Aperture, and what do you see the differences are from being able to play with them? And you guys have been doing beta stuff with Aperture and been working with it for quite a while, so maybe give us a little rundown of the two.
Sure, I'll start, and I'm going to let Scott Bourne pile on the same way we did the workshop.
Cool.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about Lightroom is that, you know, it's a public beta, so they're working on it right now. They put it out there, and, you know, Adobe works differently than Apple. Adobe says, hey, you know, we've got an idea, you know, we've got the beginnings of it, and now tell us what you think. But, you know, they have the luxury of doing that because they're in the market. Apple's trying to break into the pro market, and they really, you know, want to do it Apple style. So what Apple did was came up with something that was totally innovative, unlike anything that we've seen at the professional level. And worked on it, and then put it out as a 1.0. So, I mean, right away, you know, we got, you know, kind of two different philosophies working here.
Yeah, I mean, do you find that the workflow in Aperture is more liking to a professional photographer than Lightroom? Or how do you feel about the, I mean, it's like the workflow, but the interface, the layout, the whole user experience?
I'll jump in here, Scott.
Yeah, I'm gonna let's let Scott Bourne do that because he does about 10 times more business as a photographer than I do.
Yeah, as a professional photographer, I have to tell you that, you know, I want to just immediately say I know more about Aperture than I do Lightroom because I've been using Aperture longer. But I believe that Apple does interfaces better than anybody, in my opinion. And that's where there's a real striking difference right away. The Aperture interface is beautiful. It's a lot deeper. Aperture is just a much richer, deeper program than Lightroom. Lightroom is a beta. We don't know what will happen going forward. One of the risks as a professional photographer I think I would run using Lightroom is that if I fall in love with a workflow that's involved in a beta product and then at some point in time the company decides to abandon that workflow moving forward, I'm stuck. With Aperture, we have a fairly firm commitment to where we're going to be, and what we're going to see here moving forward is just improvement. And the look and feel of Aperture is great, but where it really comes in handy for a pro is in the time that you used to spend comparing and selecting. If you use Adobe Photoshop and you use the product Bridge that comes with it, you might spend 10 times more time looking for an image than you would if you use Aperture. It's just much easier to find your images and, more importantly, to compare and select the best ones.
Yeah, and I want to pile onto that and just say, for me, Aperture just becomes downright addictive. I mean, you get into this thing, you bring in a RAW file, right? And, you know, right away, Aperture, you know, you touch it. Aperture, you know, interprets it, gives you something to work with on screen, and then you can just, like, send it out as a JPEG, send it out as a TIFF. You can do anything you want with it. You can make, you know, 6 versions of it, and it costs you no disk space at all. It's really a hoot.
Wow. So do you find as you work it, you start really more enjoying using that application and the workflow and feeling yourself being more productive, really?
Yeah, I mean, this is what we saw in the workshop. And, you know, people came in and they were sort of skeptical about it. Maybe they're researching it for their university, you know, or something like that. And, you know, they had all these questions and had read all these negative reviews. And Scott and I would take, you know, over the course of 2 days, show them how it works. And, you know, we could see it within a few hours of going, wow, this is really,
yeah, that's the main
else.
Thing I hear. I run a website called aperturetricks.com, and I get tons of email already, even though it's a new app, and people say, well, I wish it could do this. And I say, well, it can. Here's how. And a lot of the negative reviews that we saw that were rushed out right after the program hit the streets, I think much of them, you know, much of the reviews we saw, they were based on people just not knowing how to do certain things, so they'd say, well, Aperture can't do that. But it can. Derek and I, over and over and over again, showed people different tricks that they could do, different ways to use the program to make it feel more comfortable for them. And once folks settle into this new paradigm, they, just like Derek said, it's addicting. I've run more than 40 professional jobs through Aperture in the last 6-8 weeks. And, I mean, I had to run into Photoshop for a job the other day for a client that needed something special, and I just felt like I was back in a Model T.
Now, what have you guys, let's talk about, what have you played with hardware-wise? Have you put this on an older aluminum power book, maybe a tie book? How's this thing run? What's the requirements, and how bad do we really need to step up for that G5 quad?
Well, we'll start with Scott, and then we'll go to me on this one.
Okay,
well, I can tell you that I'm using a new G5 tower with the dual-core 2.3 chip, using the PowerPC chips, not the Intel chips. And it runs well. I have 4 gigs of memory. But to tell you the truth, I didn't really need that. I could have stuck with my old dual 1.8 machine. And where you really want to spend the money if you're going to run Aperture is on a video card. I just recently upgraded this machine to the NVIDIA 7800 GT card, and it just, to quote Steve Jobs, it scrolls like butter.
Butter.
It's just fine. And Eric and Derek can talk about using it on a PowerBook.
Yeah, I'm more of a field photographer. Scott, you know, runs a really nice studio business. And so I'm running it on a PowerBook 1.5 gigahertz, a 17-inch.
That's same as I have. How much memory do you have in it?
A gig and a half.
Okay, and how's it work?
Okay, it depends on how big the RAW files are for me.
Okay.
All the way up to 8 megapixel RAW files. It runs great, although it will slow down when you get into editing. And editing is where, you know, where things on a PowerBook will sort of, you know, really, then you start to see the molasses. On my RAW files from my Canon 5D, which are 12.8 megapixel RAW files or something, it just has a hard time in general. And the PowerBook is definitely underpowered for those. But up until that, pretty good until editing slows down.
So it really, but you know what is very interesting is that as new graphics chips come online, so maybe these new Intel Core Duo PowerBooks, MacBook Pros, that's right. What is the name of it? But I just like to call them PowerBooks. But as the graphics cards increase, these applications will really take advantage of it.
Well, I was one of the first people to order the MacBook Pro. And I'll be able to test that hopefully in March sometime. It's the first Macintosh laptop that I'm aware of that you can get 256 megabytes of video RAM in, so that will no doubt help Aperture run more quickly.
Yeah.
One thing I want to quickly point out, Scott, is that one of the things that really makes Aperture stand out for me is it's the only piece of software in the known universe that will let you view a RAW file at 100% without converting it.
Wow.
Lightroom won't do that. Adobe Camera Raw won't do that. Photoshop won't do that. Photo Mechanic won't do that. Only Aperture will do that. And if you want to figure out whether or not you need to take time with an image to convert it, print it, sell it, the ability to look at it at 100% is just stupefying the first time you see it, especially in Aperture's beautiful full-screen interface that Derek and I like to work in.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that we like to do, you know, when you know, there's always, like, fun demo tricks, right? You know, when you kind of want to, I mean, in the old days, it was like, you know, the genie thing that Steve Jobs would show. Well, the fun demo trick for Aperture is when you pull out the digital loop and start running that over thumbnails, that, you know, and where you get detail at 100 or 200%, whatever you're set it at. And Aperture is actually decoding the RAW file on the fly, giving you that information. Pretty wild.
That's pretty nutty fast to be able to do that. Yes.
We talked about it for a little, the difference between Aperture and Lightroom. Do you see anything good with Lightroom that's like, wow, I wish this was an Aperture?
Yeah, well, can I take this one, Scott?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm working a little bit more with Lightroom. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to say up front is of the three new, what I call killer apps in digital photography, Lightroom, Aperture, and iPhoto 6, which I put in that category because I'm very impressed with it. I would say all three are really, really good, really solid. So, I mean, Lightroom is a terrific app. And, you know, one of the advantages it has right now, if you are a PowerBook field photographer, Lightroom runs smoother on a PowerBook than Aperture does. So that's definitely a plus. That will probably change, you know, where Aperture runs faster. But right now, nod goes to Lightroom. The other thing that Lightroom does do that a lot of photographers like is that it allows you to choose between having a managed library system, you know, within the application, or an unmanaged system where you just leave your photos wherever you want on the hard drive, and Lightroom can point to them.
Hey, Derek?
Yeah.
We're coming to a break. Let's hold you guys over for the next segment. We got a few minutes in the next segment. I want to finish this up. There's just so much to talk about. Hold on one sec. You're here with Scott Shepard, Brad Wright. We're talking with Derek Scorey and Scott Bourne about Aperture tricks and tips and all this kind of cool stuff. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. We'll be right back.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution.
What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepard.
With Scott Shepard.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the National Association of Photoshop Professionals. Coming up here March 21st through the 24th in Miami Beach, Florida, Photoshop World. Check it out at photoshopuser.com. We're back with Derek Story and Scott Bourne. We're talking about Aperture tricks and tips. And Derek, you were continuing about talking about the deal that you wanted to add stuff from what was in Lightroom, maybe that would be cool to see into Aperture.
I think what I'm saying more is probably differences between them. But I will say that, you know, some photographers do like that Lightroom allows you to manage your images outside of the Lightroom library. By the way, iPhoto 6 also allows you to do that now, too. So that's kind of, you know, kind of a new deal. And the final thing is Lightroom uses Adobe Camera Raw for its Raw engine. And, you know, let's face it, a lot of photographers are very comfortable with that and how it works and everything. And so there's kind of the old comfortable flippers sort of effect there. Aperture, Apple actually kind of wrote it from scratch. And so, you know, their raw interpretation's a little bit different.
Yeah, people don't realize that how raw files can be so different from the actual image depending that you get out of them because of the conversion. You can see that, you know, enormous variations in color and in quality depending upon who did the conversion from raw.
And I think there's a misconception, Scott, about Aperture's raw conversion. A lot of people don't understand that the raw conversion quality varies from camera to camera, and it's a lot of times dependent on the SDK that Apple gets from the camera manufacturer. The more forthcoming the camera manufacturer is, the more likely the raw conversion is going to be good. And also, the biggest difference in the Aperture raw conversions and the Adobe raw conversions are that they're simply different. It's not that one's necessarily better or worse. It's just that they're different, and that's thrown a few people off. But in my particular camera, I use a high-end camera, a Canon 1D Mark IIN.
And
in my RAW files, I actually see more detail and better color rendition, but I do see slightly more noise. Now, that's just a totally different thing than I get out of ACR. It's not necessarily better. It's not necessarily worse. But Apple can and will update its ability to do RAW conversions just as Adobe does. And the difference is that Apple will do that updating through the OS. And a lot of people are concerned that because the RAW conversion is done in the OS through Core Image, that they won't get their updates as soon, but Joe Shore, who's the Apple project lead on this product, has assured me and publicly declared that the Aperture team has enough juice to drive the OS updates themselves if all they're going to do is upgrade the RAW converter.
Wow.
And they're working on that baby right now. I know this for a fact.
Wow, that's really fantastic. I mean, it does sound like this is for a initial application. This is a pretty large home run for Apple. You know, just as an initial idea, they've done a tremendous job. Now, one thing I have a question of: can you export to another third party? I have a Nikon. I like to use Nikon Capture. Can you in Aperture? Can you have it sent out to another? The raw file sent to another application for more tweaking.
You can set your external editor to be any program you want, and whether or not Aperture will recognize. It just depends on a case-by-case basis. At the very least, you could send out that file as a TIFF file and bring it in and play with it. But I'm almost positive, Scott, that you could send it out as a NEF file to Nikon Capture, play with it, round-trip it back into Aperture. If not, I'm sure you'll be able to soon.
There's a caveat, though, and there's a really a big bonus to staying in, within the Aperture environment, because when you edit an image in Aperture itself, and you have a whole bunch of tools to do that, all Aperture's doing is writing XML instructions.
Where can we find more information about what you're up to and the URL for Scott's site? We got about 20 seconds here.
Everything, we're pushing everything over to aperturetricks.com. So that's www.aperturetricks.com, and that is the watering hole.
Cool. Thanks, Derek. Thanks, Scott. Definitely check their stuff, teaching stuff at Macworld, and they got some other gigs going. So check it out, aperturetricks.com. You're listening to Inside Mac Show. We'll be back in a bit. Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. We've had some fun today. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. This part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by DVD XDV. If you want to take your great content, take it off a DVD that's MPEG 2, bring it into QuickTime, iMovie, iDVD Studio, DVD Studio Pro 4, whatever.
Avid.
This is what you need. Yeah, you can bring it into your Avid, Nitrous, Newsroom, editing system, whatever you need.
Yeah.
Check it out, DVDXDV.com. We had some great guests in the first part of the show. We had Philip Hodges doing the Digital Production Buzz Weekly News. We had Andy Shallott from Inside Mac Press doing his Mac Design Tip of the Week. Derek Story and Scott Boren talking about Aperture tricks and tips, and what those guys are up to was aperturetricks.com. And then myself and Brad talked about the new Intel chipset, iMac.
Or Duo.
Core Duo, Duo or something.
iMac. Yeah. Okay, I want to say G5, okay. iMac G5. It's like a, you know, something you got to get out of your system. Like you write 2005 on your checks, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it'll come around. I mean, it's just, it's an iMac.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's Intel. I don't know, is that cool?
Oh yeah, I think it's. I was really surprised. I mean, as more and more things, you know, as more and more applications start taking advantage of Core Image, you know, like Aperture, like iMovie, like iPhoto, and who knows what else, because the GPU can do a lot of things. As they take more and more advantage of it, these new Macintoshes with the PCI Express and the greater graphics card are going to just basically accelerate all those applications. And so that's where the real power of these new systems comes from, is these new graphics chips and this new super ultra speedy bus that gets you in and out real fast.
It is a fast bus. You know, it's trippy, the MacBook Pro, 256 meg graphic chip, memory on board. I mean, that's the card that runs my, you know, the 230 in CinemaSplays is 256.
Yeah,
that's on a laptop.
See, and the next is 1 gig of video RAM, you know, or 512, you know, half a gig or a gig will be coming, because now all these applications are just basically, you know, using all the power and all the RAM on those cards, and so they're going to get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right. You're going to have like two motherboards. One's going to be for the graphics GPU.
Yeah.
Or it'll be for everything else.
Or it'll be like, you know, you open up the case and there'll be this little teeny tiny thing, which is your motherboard, and the rest is just all graphics CPU.
Right. It's a 16-lane bus PCI Express graphics card.
Yeah, that's right.
It's crazy stuff, but it's cool on the machines, you know. Price the same as the G5 one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, really good.
You got the 20-inch one,
yeah,
right?
I got the 20-inch. They did not have any more RAM, so I was running all of my tests with only half a gig of RAM, which was, you know, standard out of the box.
You know what I noticed about, you know, we mentioned the RAM deal. We were at the Apple store in Las Vegas on Thursday evening at the fashion show.
Yeah.
And I noticed a sign at the desk there, the Genius Bar. You know, Apple's really lowered their price of RAM when you buy it at the store.
Yes.
It used to be, you know, just ungodly expensive.
Like, here, take a second mortgage on your house.
No, but they had a deal going where you could put 2 gigs of RAM in a G5, a regular G5 tower.
Yeah.
And they would sell you 2 1-gig chips because, you know, I had to put them in pairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's $300.
Yeah.
I mean, you might be able to find a little bit better deal online, but those guys will put it in right there for free when you buy the machine.
Yes. I think they realize the fact is that, you know, if they were a little nicer about their RAM pricing, they would be, I don't know what their reason was, but I think being a little nicer on their RAM pricing is definitely going to enhance the user experience, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, you stick a 1 gig chip now, okay? Is that what you were going to put in?
Yeah, I was going to, if they had it, yeah.
Right. So you make your machine a gig and a half, you're going to have no more page outs.
Yep.
And that thing's going to rock.
Yeah. I mean, another thing to point out, most of the applications that are 32-bit can only get 4 gigs of RAM. So every application that you're running, which is just about everything, can only max out at 4 gigs of RAM. So 2 gigs of RAM, you're about halfway there. 8 or 16, you're basically, you're not getting much of an advantage at that point.
No. But, you know, I got 2 gig of my PowerBook, and I've only paged out like once, and I go in the terminal and do the whole deal. Do top.
Yeah.
You see your page outs? None. Yep.
Nothing. That's
so
awesome.
So 1.5 to 2 gig, I think, is the sweet spot. One and a half is definitely like mighty happy. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, Little Sammy Levin and his cool Mac picks. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright, and this part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4 and the very cool new hardware device, Proto-J. Check them out at micromat.com. Right now we're here with Little Sammy Levin doing his cool Mac picks. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great. It's a wonderful blustery day in the North Bay. Yep, lots of cool stuff. Now listen, we didn't have enough time, guys, to talk about all the cool stuff from CES and Macworld. So I just want to follow up with a little of that because there was so much there. One of the companies at CES is called Swissbit. Now if you don't know who Swissbit is, they're the people that make the Victronix products. And you know the Swiss Army knives? Well, they make a Victronix Swiss Army USB combo drive and knife. This thing is very cool. Remember, they were there at CES at Showstoppers, and they were showing their new device that does everything, Scott. It starts at, I think, 256 megabytes. They just announced a 2 gig version. So basically, it's the Victronix pocket knife, but it's got a little USB that pulls out, so it becomes your thumb drive. But what's really cool about it is it's not just that. It's a blade, a knife, a screwdriver, scissors, LED light, if you need a little light at night, a ballpoint pen, all in less than 2 inches of length.
Wow.
Very, very cool.
It was just a matter of time before the Swiss Army knife had a USB option on it, wasn't it?
and one step further, Brad, they came out with an MP3 version. So now you have everything, it's a little bit bigger, that has an MP3 player built into it. So you can plug it into your Mac. It's Mac and PC native. It's USB 2.0, and it's up to 2 gigabytes. It starts at $59.95. If you want to check it out, just go to Swissbit. SWISSBIT.com. You will dig this. It's a great gift for, you know, anyone that you think has everything. It's called Swissbit. Also, at Macworld Expo, there were a number of cool companies that came out with cases. Well, iSkin, I mentioned this before, we just didn't have enough time. They came out with an Evo 3 skin. These guys have done the best job, in my opinion, for creating silicon skins. Some of the best for silicon skins. It's called the Evo 3. It's $34.95. It comes in a bunch of different colors. And what I like about it is the entire facade is protected by a plate of plastic, and you cannot damage your iPod. It's for the 5G iPod. They also make ones available for the Nano, but the Nano, they're not called Evo 3. There's some other name, but I really like what they've done. They have two different styles, a 30 or a 60, as far as it fits both sizes or two different SKUs, available today from iSkin.com. What else? Just shipped last week from Griffin the Smart Share, and the Smart Share is a headphone splitter, but what's unique about this, guys, is that it allows you to have separate volume controls on each end. So how many times do you want to jack your friends in, share your...
Yeah, but y'all don't want to listen to the same level.
That's right. And for $19.95, you've got your own music, or not your own music, volume level. I think it's pretty cool. It's from Griffin Technology. It's called Smart Share. Just go to griffintechnology.com, and you'll check it out. It's I think it's unique. The other thing, the other company that was at Macworld is Extreme Mac. Now, we all know and love Extreme Mac. They've had products for years. They were one of the first companies on the scene to create iPod cases. Well, they've come out with a whole line of iPod cases called Icons. That's I-C-O-N-Z. And I love these guys because they're Superman, Speed Racer. They've got a bunch of different kinds. I just love them because...
So these are basically printed on the skin itself.
Yeah.
So these are like those cool graphics that are printed over the case itself that are customized with your favorite Star Wars scene or whatnot on there.
Even they've got other ones, Homer Simpson. A ton. Just go and check it out. They've even got Batman. I've got a Superman one, but I love Speed Racer as well. They're $29.95. They also have a whole line of NBA or MLB sports. So if you're into Boston Red Sox, they've got that logo. I love it. They've come out with a whole new line of iPod accessories. They've raised the bar with iPod accessories. It's extrememac.com, extrememac.com. I love what they're doing. Speaking of iPod, there's a new video share website on the scene called Guba, GUBA.com. Guba has a cool site that allows you to search and browse a wealth of content, music videos, comedy, sci-fi, reality TV, cartoons, vintage cartoons. There's fantasy, British comedy, and it's all in MPEG-4 format, so you can use it on portable PlayStation. You can use it on Mac, PC, iPod. That's the new format that a lot of people are encoding into because it's kind of
universal.
It's universal for portable devices. It's a $14.95 a month. That's the fee, but you've got to check it out because it's unique. I just like what they've done. It's called Guba, G-U-B-A. I have no idea where they got this name Guba from, but I like what they've done, and I don't know. It's something unique and fun, and it's another place to go and find content other than iTunes because there's a lot more out there than just iTunes, obviously.
Yeah, what do you think about the new Google Video gig?
Well, you mean that they've got a whole new library. You mean a Google Video Store, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could buy stuff. Have you tried to buy one and put it on your iPod?
You know, Scott, I have not tried to buy anything, but I downloaded for free this guy's, this 12-year-old drummer. He's a fantastic drummer, and he did this, like, 7-minute drum rendition, and I just want to check it out. You can download free stuff. You can preview free stuff. There's a thing on there where this guy is showing his daughter how to hunt, and they show shooting practice, and it's bizarre. It's out in, like, Oklahoma with an M30.
Oh, that's kind of scary.
Oh, my God. It's like, oh, this is great. This is wonderful, But it's really cool. I have not bought anything on Google. I'm going to test it out, and then next week when we get back together, I'll tell you about the different things that I've downloaded as far as different from Guba to Google to iTunes. And iTunes has a wealth of stuff. That they just put online, Saturday Night Live. What else they put
My favorite, SpongeBob.
SpongeBob. I heard there's some Saturday Night skits that are great. We're going to get into that next week about different content and where you can find it. I also want to talk next week about iLife 06 and iWork 06. And I've been using that for the last week. I really, really like what they've done. That's it for me.
Cool, Sammy. That was Sam Levin with his cool Mac picks. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next up here, we're going to talk more about the iMac Intel. Believe it or not, it's here. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepard and Brad Wright. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by MCE Technologies. If you want a new super drive for your PowerBook, your G4, your G5, dual layers, you can burn the cool 9.4 gigabyte disk. Check them out at mcetech.com. Brad,
yes.
Let's talk more about the cool iMac Intel.
Yeah, you know, this is really one of the nice things that I noticed about it was that I didn't think that the EyeSight camera, because of its size, would pull off such good photographs. But that thing really is amazingly good for just taking little snappy little shots. In fact, one of the things that I really liked, and I wish digital camera manufacturers would incorporate this into all their cameras, is a black and white mode, so that you could basically just take the viewfinder, stick it into black and white mode, so you could compose the shot in black and white, because I find that that's very tricky to do in color to get really, really good results. And that's right. One of the nice things that the new photo booth application has is you can set a whole bunch of different effects while, you know, and preview them in real time, because it's all using Core Image. And so things like black and white could be previewed in real time, or you can look at a whole set of them, like they'd show up like 8 at once. And so you can pick which effect you think is the best for that shot.
That is cool. I mean, I bet that sensor is probably the size of a, you know, like a sensor in like a little small digital camera.
It's really tiny, but it does, it's amazingly useful. And then the other application that I thought was really, of course, good is that we, you know, probably haven't really touched on a lot was Front Row. They have this little teeny, I mean, of course, if you've seen them, the Apple remotes, they're very, very small, but Apple, again, because they do user interfaces so well, has figured out how to get you through all of these complicated devices with a remote that has basically about 4 or 5 buttons on it. But just nothing, you know, amazing.
Did you have a chance to load any other photos or anything in iTunes to actually play with Front Row more than just playing the DVD?
No, I just started playing with the DVD because I thought that would give me a good test of to see like how well the actual video looked on a DVD, because that's what really can stress that screen the most. And that screen had just tremendously good colors on it for that DVD. I mean, I don't really consider like LCD panels to be quite there yet as a reference standard for video. I mean, not by a long shot, but this one looked very, very watchable. I mean, I was quite surprised how good it was.
Yeah, that's true with the LCD deal.
Yeah.
How big are they making TVs anymore?
Well, you know,
real glass tube.
You know, as I was, it's going to a totally different subject. I was talking to, I was down in Hollywood, or actually it was Burbank last week, and I ran into a person who is like the regional sales manager for JVC, and they are discontinuing all of their broadcast high definition CRT monitors. These are the ones that are like big, you know, 19, 20 inch monitors, and they're like cost about $3,000 or so. And then they have a bunch of cards, so you could wind up spending like $10,000 on this thing, depending on the cards you have outfitted. But they're wiping them all out. And it's because there's some special new rule in Japan saying you can no longer make these screens because they contain too many harmful chemicals. You want one, you better go get one or get on eBay, because they are going fast.
Wonder when they're going to discontinue them, like right away?
Oh, I think they're already stopped manufacturing them.
Really?
So it's basically
whatever's in the channel.
What's in the channel.
And that's going to be the same thing with TVs, too.
Oh, yeah.
So your hose, if you want a glass tube, electron gun, phosphorus TV, it's over.
It's over, yeah. So, I mean, just like that one we had at the Macworld booth, if you have a glass tube and you're doing, you know, you may want to hang on to that for a little while, because they could be ancient or, you know, out of date real soon.
Right. I'm going to have to look at that, because I've been looking at a monitor going, well, do I want to use a cinema display and come out that way?
Yeah, nothing. No, it's like in talking to all the pros, it's still nothing beats a CRT. Just nothing looks like a CRT. It is the best looking image that you know that you can get out of video or any.
Do you think? You know, maybe we can talk. We'll talk about this here in a little bit, but. You know, all the CRT stuff's going away, so do you think you should correct your image on an LCD panel because everybody's got LCD now, or should you still color correct and do your stuff on a glass electron gun tube monitor? We'll talk about that. You're listening to the Inside Mac Show. We'll be right back. If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by Creative Pro, the coolest place if you create anything. So if you're working in Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign, Go Live, Quark, you name it, you're making creative, this place rocks. Check them out at creativepro.com. Lots of great information, daily tips, a huge forum, 400,000 members. Great stuff, creativepro.com. So,
yes.
Before the break, we were talking about JVC's killing off all their monitors. They don't want no more lead in landfills.
Yeah.
They don't want to hurt their little babies or anything. So, everything's going LCD. And I've seen Panasonic has completely eliminated all
CRTs.
Gone.
Yep.
Everything now is high definition, reference color monitor, whatever.
Yeah.
Now, I'm working at stuff, you're working on stuff, everybody's working on their cool stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. And they need to color correct because nothing looks right. Especially with DV being 411, it looks, you know, nasty anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You need to bring some more saturation, bring some more. You do whatever you can in post, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have, let's say I have a 14-inch Sony reference monitor, blue gun, calibrated. Let's say I run Spider TV on a heathen box and make the thing just, dude, die.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's no good anymore.
No, actually, it's not. It depends upon where you're going to go. If you're basically, if everybody that is going to view your video is going to be using that same reference CRT standard, or you're going to go out to the big screen, say you're like an indie film producer, you want to color correct on the highest quality device that you can. So that's where your film guys should always keep those CRTs available and keep them properly color corrected.
Well, you know, someone's going to have a CRT somewhere.
Yeah, and they're going to look at your footage and say, what the heck is this? You know, because LCD panels, even at the best quality as we have today, still just can't match what a CRT can do.
No.
Oh, it still can't. Even plasmas, everybody you talk to, it's just still. So you have to just hang on to those little babies. Even if you don't have a high definition one, a standard definition one is still going to be a great thing to have because you can set your colors.
How much
to
is a reference monitor with a blue gun and high def cost? 16.9, it's like $5,000.
More, 10. No, it's not that bad.
$3,000.
It's probably around $2,000 to $3,000.
And it weighs like 400 pounds.
Yeah, it's like really heavy. It needs a forklift to get it up there. Oh, yeah.
I want one, though.
Oh, yes.
I miss electron.
Yes,
glass,
electron glass.
Tubes, you know?
Yes. Well, the thing about it is that, you know, you can't really... The problem is that what you're looking at when you see an LCD display is what you're looking at is you're looking at light coming from a fluorescent tube, right? And fluorescent...
So we have a 5,500K fluorescent tube.
You got a fluorescent tube.
Daylight.
Fluorescent tubes are not truly good quality white points. You know, no matter what you do to them, they are really just not there. It just isn't the same. I mean, it's just not there. Now, of course, let's flip it in the other way. Let's go the other direction. Let's just say that your stuff is never going to be seen on a CRT. Let's say it's going to go to a video iPod, right?
Yep.
Well, then you want to color correct on the LCD panel. It's just the opposite.
Well, that's the thing. So let's say if I'm creating content, and we happen to create some content.
We happen to create some content, yes.
Not seen for TV.
Yes.
And... we want to color correct, or someone that's creating mm-hmm. content that's going to be viewed on a current model computer. Now, pretty much every computer, Mac or heathen box,
mm-hmm.
flat panel.
Yep.
So we should be color correcting on a flat panel.
Yes, you should be. Absolutely.
Because we want to make it look all happy. If we make the thing look happy, it still can look washed out. So I guess on the flat panel, you need to crank up the chroma, the gamma, the saturation, and it would be even more.
You need to, yeah.
It could be actually overburned in too much.
Absolutely.
On a TV screen.
Yes, that's what I've been doing with the Inside Mac TV is I have been just tweaking the video to get more contrast and more image out of it. I mean, you really have to do that because you have to basically use, you know, you have to go beyond what would look normal on a television.
Right,
because
it looks washy. It looks washed out.
Really
it looks
funky, yes. The colors
like
are totally different.
Some bleach over it, a little Clorox look. We like Clorox, but not on our videos. Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. Next up, we're going to have Martin Baker from Digital Heaven, straight from the UK. Mate, we'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying?
Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting Micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Inside your life,
business,
your home,
inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program. If you need stuff printed, real Heidelberg offset printing, not digital tone or nastiness, but true ink on paper, good stuff.
Yeah.
The flyers from Macro.
Just awesome. Yeah.
These guys rock.
These guys are amazing. And they'll help you get something, whatever you have, whatever form you have it in, you send it to them, they will help you get it to their machine.
You can even send them some nasty Word document. They'll make it work.
Yeah.
We sent them a thing that came out of Pages. And
yeah,
it's
my
beautiful.
Favorite application. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you can go from Pages to Heidelberg to steel with ink on paper. And, hey, a good deal, too. Really. Check them out, printingforless.com. Right now, we're joined by Martin Baker. Martin is the king over there at Digital Heaven, and they do all kinds of stuff. How you doing, Martin?
Hi. How you doing? Very good, thanks.
Good. So tell us, give us a little background. Who's Martin Baker, and what is Digital Heaven?
Sure. Well, I've basically been a sort of broadcast editor for coming up to, 13 years back in London in the UK, and did a lot of work for the BBC and other broadcasters. And I basically set up Digital Heaven as a post-production facility back in 6 years ago, 1999. And we sort of started off with sort of two edit rooms initially, still doing a lot of BBC work. And then in 2003, we kind of branched out into doing our own software, so developing stuff from scratch and marketing that and selling it through our website. Been going really well. So we now do that full time, and we're no longer a post production.
So you've completely kicked the whole post deal, and then you're just writing plugins and software, and
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Well, okay. Now what you guys actually came up with was Multicam Lite before Multicam was in Final Cut Pro.
That was
one of your applications, which Philip Hodgetts used, and several people reviewed and used for a while until the support was actually in Final Cut. Yeah, you guys still make a lot of Final Cut plugins, which are all very nice and very inexpensive. I got to see those when I was at the LA Final Cut Pro Users Group, and you guys were down there last Thursday. But you have this new application, which is the top secret thing that you just debuted this week. Tell us about what this thing does.
Sure. Well, so our new product that we launched this week at the LaFCPUG User Group is called AutoMotion, and it's basically a really good partner to Apple's Motion. Apple's Motion is to been around for a couple of years, I think, and it's a fantastic app for doing graphics, creating text that you want to include in your Final Cut Pro project. It's a really flexible app. But one of the things that's always been the problem with these sorts of apps like Motion and like After Effects and others like, you know, like those, is that if you want to make a bunch of graphics that you've got to put in a program, you've got to do that as a manual process. And most of the time, you've got a kind of fixed template of the style of that you want, like a lower third caption. So in a nutshell, what AutoMotion does is it allows you to automate that process of churning out loads and loads of different versions using, you know, a few templates, basically. So you feed your text in as a text file, and you import the templates into AutoMotion, and it kind of merges them together. And, you know, you can produce, I think it's, I did 40 different versions in around about, you know, it takes about 2.5 seconds for that to actually export out. And you've got the files in your Finder.
Yeah, one of the amazing things that you have in your application, which I still haven't figured out, and we were talking about this with Philip, one of the amazing things you have is that, so you take this application and you open up a set of motion files, which are, you know, could be in Final Cut or basically on your hard drive.
Yeah.
And one of the things that your application allows you to do is actually preview the changes that you are making to the motion files in a little separate window. So
yeah,
when you type those in, like you want to change, like say for instance you're doing a bunch of titles or you're a bunch of graphics and you're changing the text, you're seeing the changes update in this window.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think is just amazing.
Sure. I mean, when we, you know, the thing is, when we started on this, and we kind of sat down and thought, right, what do we want to do? And, you know, most of our products come out of a kind of real world need. In terms of, I've been sitting in that editor's chair and had a producer say to me, oh, can we just change the font, you know, on those captions? And I know that there's 40 of them.
And you're just like, you know, the pit in your stomach, you just want to die. You're like,
no,
do you
not
know how much
again.
Work that was?
So, yeah, you know, so all that things sort of start like that. And in this case, it was really, it became really apparent that, you know, it's all kind of very well being able to produce these lots of different versions in an automatic way. But if you can't actually switch through them and actually check that they're okay, it's actually, you know, it's not worth anything. So from kind of day one, we really thought it was important to build in this live preview so you could see exactly how your graphics were looking with the merged text in them.
Mm. Yeah, that's an amazing feature. And I think a whole slew of capabilities just allowing you to do just that, because when you get into motion and you're trying to click and find, you know, a little bit of text and changing it, it just can take forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really long time. What is the price of this application?
Okay, so it's going to be $395, and it's currently in beta testing, which is going really well. We are aiming to have it released by the end of next month, so it won't be long.
Mm.
And there will actually be a 30-day demo version as well.
So you can get addicted and then you have to buy it.
Well, hopefully, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Tell us about, you actually have a widget.
Yeah.
And some of the other plugins. Tell us about some of the other stuff, because you got a bunch of different really cool plugins for Final Cut.
Yeah. Well, the widget, yeah, this is, it's interesting. We kind of saw that there were loads and loads of people doing widgets. And one of the things that we had quite a few requests for, actually, was this whole thing about being able to calculate how much disk space a certain amount of time a video takes. You know, because obviously people have limited amounts of disk space and they want to know how many minutes of video they can fit on their disk. So we kind of looked at it and decided that it'd be really cool if we could do this as a widget. So back in October last year, we launched a widget which is called Video Space. And it is free. Obviously, you need Tiger to run it. But it's really flexible. You can basically type in the time that you want to calculate into gigabytes, or you can type in the gigabytes that you want to convert back into time. And there's various options for codecs and audio channels, and it's pretty comprehensive. But it's just been phenomenal, actually. We had 10,000 downloads in the first month.
Wow.
Blew us away. We didn't expect anything like that.
And suddenly you got the bill from your bandwidth provider.
Exactly.
Wow.
So what are you guys going to make the trek over here to NAB?
I don't know yet, to be honest. Yeah, a couple of people have been saying that, and there's no immediate plans, but you never know. I might show up.
Oh, if you haven't seen it, you've really got to see it.
Now, do you guys ever go to IBC?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, see, we want to go to Amsterdam.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. That's our next gig, okay?
Get those tickets booked.
That's always fun stuff there.
What's there to do there?
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty to do.
I don't know. I think, depends who you talk to, I think.
Yeah. Where are you at in the UK exactly?
So we're based in London.
So you're in London. So what's the, a friend of ours over there, you know Mark Gilbert from Gallery?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Mark's over there in the UK, and he's doing some real high-end broadcast software for that stuff. How's the whole feel of the Final Cut Pro group, people doing stuff with Apple? I know you've done stuff with the BBC and all these other things. How is Apple integrated in with, broadcast professional people working in the UK and in other parts of Europe?
Sure.
From what you've seen, over here, I know you were just at Michael Horton's deal and that kind of stuff, but how's the landscape looking in the UK?
Well, we're definitely behind you guys, I think, because... there is a UK user group, but that's only been around, I think, about a couple of years or something. It's interesting, in a broadcast sort of environment, I mean, we were, as a post-production facility, we were Avid-based till 2003. Mm. And we were kind of one of the first, pretty much the first facility to switch over to Final Cut. And there was nobody else at that time doing that. And then about, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, the BBC announced that they were really going to start taking Final Cut seriously and start using it as a platform. And all of a sudden, it's really kind of taken off, which is interesting. So, I guess that's why as soon as a big broadcaster puts their seal of approval on it, it kind of takes off. So,
hey, Martin, where can we get more information on Digital Heaven, get this really cool widget plugin that I already got? I love the thing. How do we get a hold of Martin?
Okay, so just go to our website, which is the usual www.digitalheaven.co.uk. That's .co.uk.
Cool. Hey, thank you very much for joining us today, Martin. We'd love to have you back later when you guys get your new secret app out here, and then we can talk about it some more and just talk about digital video in the UK. This is great. Thank you. That was Martin Baker, digitalheaven.co.uk. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen online tonight or the David Lawrence Show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us
at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show is brought to you by Mac Update and the Digital Production Buzz. You can find out this stuff with Mac Update to get your Mac all happy and the software all nice and updated at MacUpdate.com. And, of course, our buddy Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister at DigitalProductionBuzz.com. So, Brad.
Yes.
The stuff finally taking off there in the UK with
Final Cut.
But, it actually took the BBC to actually say, yeah, this is the cool deal before everybody else wanted to do it.
And they are so conservative. The whole thing about it is that they're just they move very, very slowly. Of course, they've also invented a lot of technology over the years, and the BBC is really a pioneer in a lot of things. But they have a very high standard of production. And to hear that they're finally going to Final Cut means that... Wow, Final Cut has really gained acceptance to be able to get into the BBC, to be able to get into these places where before the door was just locked or slammed shut and wouldn't allow this kind of thing to happen. It's really pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is cool stuff there. And like you said, I have another buddy in the UK, Mark Gilbert,
mm-hmm.
makes Metacorder, a sound location auto recorder.
Yeah.
For, sound location guys on real film stuff. They do all the software, ABC or whoever does. I don't know if it's ABC, whatever, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Uses all their stuff to actually, it's really trippy because they actually bring in HDSDI
mm-hmm.
in through Kona cards into a Mac. They use this software that lets you actually edit stuff live on the fly.
Yeah.
In QuickTime. I don't know how they even do this deal. What it does is wild.
Yeah.
But, it's cool that these guys are cranking other stuff out.
Yeah, you know, it's really the whole entire doors or entry level into doing digital video has really just basically been swung open. There are these very inexpensive systems now that you can create incredible content on, incredible stuff. And you don't have to be a big guy. You know, you don't have to be spending just millions of dollars and a huge, huge set of production tools and whatnot. I mean, it's really wide open.
Yeah, I mean, really. Okay, let's think about it. You can do full-blown broadcast production video editing. You need a quad G5, $2,500.
Yeah.
You know, you need a 30-inch cinema.
You probably don't even need a quad. I mean, it depends on what the level. You could probably
get the topped-out deal. You can go crazy with a G5, an X-Serve RAID, a 30-inch display, a 23, so you can do your monitoring with, okay? Or you can have another 30.
Yeah.
You can do all this stuff. You can spend less than $20,000 and get AJA3, you know, with a 16-lane PCI Express card, HDSDI in and out, 4444.
Yeah.
With a new card, dude, with a key and you can do all this stuff for like $20,000, $25,000. That's including an X-Serve RAID running dual fiber.
You still got money to buy a nice European sports car after that, too.
It's
like $100,000, you still got money to buy a decent car, you know?
Yeah, because you're only going to spend $30,000 in hardware, and you can go out and spend $70,000 on the car.
Yeah, that's right. You're like, here's my production studio. It's like, $70,000 was the car, and then the rest was just the production studio. You gave me $100,000, that's how I spent the money.
But then again, you know, you can have all the coolest gear and still not edit worth of beans.
That's
right.
You
can have some guy that's like, you could take someone like Walter Murch or one of these other cats and stick them on, you know, an old G3 iMac, and he'd crank out a motion picture in it.
Well, they did.
When
you think about it, they did. They did that, and these guys do that because they, you know, when they started getting into Final Cut, these systems weren't really very fast. And so they did work on, when you think about this, is when Final Cut first came out and people started working on these shows and everything, these systems weren't very fast. So, yes, early on, I mean, you don't need the most powerful hardware. And a lot of the pro guys don't upgrade all that quickly, too, as well.
Right.
So you don't need to spend on that dual quad, you know, I mean, or quad, you know, PowerMac G5 or, you know, all this sense of hardware. You just have to have, you know, a good story and some good production.
That's it. I mean, basically, you know, and I want to talk about this. Have you seen the DVD package out that tells you how to be a director?
No.
We'll talk about that. Hey, you've been listening to the Inside Mac Radio Program. You're here with Scott Shepherd and Brad Wright. We had today Philip Hodges, Andrew Shallon on. We had Derek Story, Scott Bourne, Sam Levin, Martin Baker from Digital Heaven, all that great stuff, and our sponsors, Micromat, DVD, XDV, MCE Technologies, Creative Pro, Printing for Less, the National Association of Photoshop Professionals, Layers Magazine, Mac Update, and the Digital Production Buzz. You can find out more information at InsideMacRadio.com.